Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome. This is Scott Spisano and Neighbors in Need, always here to help. And today we have our friends from Epilepsy Prelude, and you are?
I am Jeff Sinzabax. I'm the president.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Mike Riddell. I'm the education coordinator and our camp director.
And this group has been around for quite a while, right?
Yeah, the camp, the agency has been around for 25, 30 years. Uh-huh. And camp, how many years have been for the children's camp?
28 years now.
Wow, years. Sure, yeah. Well, let's start with now. Summer is here and camping is everywhere. Tell us about your camp. What's it called?
Well, we have this camp. It's for children who have epilepsy, mm-hmm. and it's called Camp Eager. Eager is actually an acronym from when it was established, and it was the Epilepsy Association of Greater Rochester. Now we are Epilepsy Prelude, and we still have this camp for kids from the ages of 8 to 17 mm-hmm. to come for a week-long residential camp experience. It's down in Wyoming County,
okay,
but they all have epilepsy. Sometimes we have some siblings of children with epilepsy come as well because they need the support too.
Oh, great. That's an added benefit of being a brother or sister, right? Yeah. You get to go to camp too.
But these kids usually, when they have epilepsy, their parents, sometimes the camps that accept kids who have these seizures going on are kind of nervous or something like that. So we have this camp that we have a medical staff there. They're very well versed in epilepsy, of course.
Sure, yeah.
And a lot of the counselors, the cabin counselors, are former campers, so they get it. They understand the epilepsy piece. They understand the seizures. And if and when a child has a seizure at camp, we deal with it then. And then hopefully they get to rest for a little bit and then get right back into the activities that they were doing before.
Totally overprepared for this. This is perfect. And it's got to be a, you know, from a parent's point of view, it's got to be a welcome relief just to know that your kid is in capable hands. You don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You know?
And it also gives the parents some respite too.
Sure. Yeah.
They get to send their kid to a safe place and know that they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents get to go out to dinner once or twice during the week and kind of can relax and
never have
recharge too.
One eye on a phone or, you know, trying to figure out. You know, it's funny. I saw an app today. It's called Elijah, and it was developed by a local Rochester woman. And it's basically you tap it once and then the second time to open it. And the second time you tap it, it's a universal help button. Hmm. And what you do, and you guys may want to look at this. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. It's a, once you, set up the app, you can tell the app who to notify and what message to have. And you can send it to more than one person at the same time.
Mm. Yeah.
So in fact, I could see this being a very helpful thing. If, you know, you're sometimes feeling a seizure coming on or whatever, you can tap it and it'll alert to whoever you need. I just connected that to it. I saw that today.
Well, let's go. You're talking about the safety aspect. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really cool is we have a partnership with URMC.
Uh-huh.
And they have several docs there that will come, neurologists, on their vacation week, stay at the camp, and they're there for whatever comes around. And then we also have some of their nurse practitioners and nurses that come and stay with us.
Uh-huh.
They pass the medication and they're there for health issues because there's so much stigma, negative stigma tied to epilepsy that a lot of kids with epilepsy are excluded. So you talk, it's not just for the safety and the well-being of the parents to know that, but also so many other environments aren't inclusive. That people don't want you to go in the pool because you might have a seizure.
Yeah.
People don't want you to do this because you might have a seizure. And so they end up inadvertently keeping kids with epilepsy from doing stuff. But at this camp, they get to do everything that anyone else would do.
Well, give us some of the activities. What goes on?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff. That, you know, it's kids kind of activities that you would experience at a summer camp. There's, you know, the wall climbing and zip lining.
Mm.
There's, you know, horseback riding. There's canoeing. There's swimming. You know, and a lot of times parents,
archery?
And nature and arts and crafts and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, things like horseback riding and wall climbing and swimming, parents and neurologists get a little nervous. But we have the supervision levels there to be able to accommodate that and keep them safe and have them experience those things that kids of that age should experience.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be a little prohibitive, or you'd be a little apprehensive, be like, well, let's try something else. Let's stick with chess or something like that.
Right.
This really gives the kids the opportunity to.
And what happens expand. Is they do these activities mm-hmm. at camp, and they maybe it's the first time they've ever done it.
Yeah.
So then it kind of has a residual effect. Once they get home after camp is over, their confidence is increased. Their self-esteem is heightened. So when they go back to school in September, they have a new outlook. They have a new, you know, they have I can do it attitude.
Right. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, a great example of something at camp is, you know, usually a kid that has epilepsy might take seizure medication.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're at a typical camp, this is something you're either going to try and keep secret. You'll do on your own. You'll sneak off to the nurse's tent to get your meds. Uh-huh. Here, all the kids in the camp get the meds. And so one of the favorite things I like about visiting camps, you come down, there's a nurse's hut, and there's this big field next to where the nurses are passing medication.
Mm-hmm.
And the med pass, instead of being something quiet or shameful or you just have, mm-hmm. it's a party.
It's an event.
And these kids are throwing footballs, and they're hitting on each other, and they're having fun, and they're running around playing tag. And like, it's just a really cool experience to see these kids have something just be so cool when they're doing it. So.
Yeah, and it's like Jeff said, it's kind of cute. They're standing in line for, you know, to get their medication. Uh-huh. They're like, what kind of meds do you have?
What do you
what color pill is you have to take? You know, and so they really get that informal education about their epilepsy and other kids' epilepsy.
I'm sure a lot of kids, you know, it's I'm sure they could probably feel like they're the only ones that have this in their school or in their neighborhood, and then this really puts everybody together at one, and everybody's like, oh, this isn't so, you know. Rare.
Exactly.
They
get to camp and they realize, oh my goodness, there's 78 other kids that are going through the same kind of things.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they develop friendships after that too.
Oh, yeah.
They keep in touch and all that stuff.
Well,
too.
You talked about that a lot of the kids, when they finish camp, they hit adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
Then they become counselors in training, and then they become counselors. And we wouldn't be able to put this camp on if it wasn't for the army of people that have epilepsy that have come through the camp, and now they want to give back. So they're college students, they're young adults, they come back, they spend the week as a volunteer being a counselor for these other kids. And I think that, again, it builds on, they build these friendships in their childhood, and here they are into adulthood giving back and contributing. And between the doctors and the nurses and all these people that give their time, makes the camp a much more affordable experience to put on.
Absolutely.
And it's a great experience for the counselors, because I kind of question who has more fun, you know, the counselors or the kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they come back year after year to volunteer their time, but they're also establishing relationships in adulthood that they wouldn't have had if it wasn't for this.
And the seeking the common thread here, and then they found it in this great effort. Okay, let's take a step back. How did you get involved with this organization?
So, we had two organizations that came together. There was PRALID, People Rebuilding and Living in Dignity, and the Epilepsy Foundation. We merged the two agencies in 2013. Mm-hmm. So in 2012, when we were moving for it, that's when I got involved. But I have a sister that has epilepsy, and she had received services from the Epilepsy Foundation at one point in time. And so I've always known about the stigma. I've always had personal connection to it. And when we brought everything together, this was one of the crown jewel kind of programs to just be able to just do something that no one else is doing in a way that it isn't being done and meets a need in the community. Actually, you're serving people from all over Western New York and New York State.
And so really you, cool. sir?
Well, I'm coming up on my 20th anniversary working at the agency. In November, it'll be 20 years. So, and I've always been part of, I've had many hats at the agency. I've been a service coordinator, and I was in employment helping individuals find work out in the community. But I kind of settled into the education niche, you know, getting information about epilepsy out there to schools, businesses, agencies, and also all the while being involved with this camp, because I come from a background of being a camp counselor as a teen and stuff like that. I was also diagnosed with epilepsy as a teen. My seizures, knock on wood, you know, went away early in my 20s. But I kind of get it. I understand what it's like to have seizures and being diagnosed with epilepsy. So it's a kind of a personal connection and a professional connection. I really enjoy helping teens, young adults have that experience that they might not have had if they didn't get involved with our agency.
That's a fantastic thing. And you found your place. You really have. You both have really found your place. Mm-hmm. Now, when people that do not have epilepsy, it's not in their world. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the stigma and the perception.
Yep.
What is that, and how are we overcoming that?
Well, I think things have come a long ways in the last several decades, but there's still a long way to go. We constantly hear about things that kind of make you cringe about, you know, we have an office in Binghamton and down there not that long ago, there was an example at the Binghamton University where a cafeteria worker had a seizure and one of their coworkers put a spoon in their mouth, something you would never, ever do.
Oh, dear.
To do that during a seizure. And the local media put out a report calling that person a hero. And so we were calling, trying to get them to take that off their website because it's a wrong thing we want to be teaching. We offered education and other stuff and they rejected it. So I think that there's a lot of old stigma that's still out there. I think it's eroding slowly, but there are a lot of challenges tied to epilepsy that if you have active seizures, you might not be able to drive your car for a year.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things that can really impact a person in their life.
And what do we do as people that have not experienced this before? If you're in a crowd and someone does have a seizure, what are the procedures?
Well, I think, Scott, it depends on the type of seizure the person has.
Right.
A lot of times people, when they think seizure, they think of convulsing type of seizure, which is called a tonic-clonic seizure. But there's, you know, several different types of seizures that people can have. The brain is a very complicated organ. So it could be, you know, something simple as a staring spell, which they're totally unaware of. Or they can be doing some, you know, kind of unique behaviors that they don't normally do. When you come upon someone who's having one of these tonic-clonic seizures.
Which is the ones that we all think.
Right.
That those are the ones. I got to help somebody.
We used to call them grand mal seizures, but if you think about it, it doesn't really tell you a lot. It means big bad. So they medically appropriately called it tonic-clonic now. Mm-hmm. It's when a person gets very rigid, very stiff, and starts to shake or convulse.
Okay. Right.
Basically, you have to use your common sense. You keep that person safe. You know, maybe turn the person on their side, comfort them, talk softly. You know, take a look at your phone or your clock and see when the seizure starts. So that if it goes on too long, then you can call for more emergency personnel to come and help.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, comfort them, you know, make sure that their head is protected so they're not banging their head
on
the ground.
Don't put a spoon in their mouth.
No, don't put anything on the person's mouth. You know, a lot of times people think that they have to clear the airway.
Yeah.
You know, turn the person on their side. That'll clear the airway.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stick your fingers in their mouth and do a finger sweep. You might get your finger bit.
Yeah, right. You're right.
But
right.
You just want to use a lot of common sense moves and just make sure, and don't panic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, seizures happen. People with epilepsy have seizures. Some of them are more well-controlled than others.
Mm-hmm.
I know some kids and some young adults who have hundreds of seizures. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we're rushing them to the hospital every single time they have a seizure, it's a lot of wasted time and money.
Is someone with epilepsy, do they know, can they sense when one is going to happen?
Again, it depends on that person. It's, it's very individualized. Uh-huh. Sometimes they have what they call an aura.
Yeah.
It's A-U-R-A. It's a period of time. It could be a day, or it could be just a couple of seconds, but sometimes they could tell that they're about to have a seizure.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't have that. It comes out of the blue and smacks them right in the face and they have a seizure. So it, again, depends on the person, depends on the type of seizures they have and where in the brain the seizures are coming from.
There is so much to learn about epilepsy and about your organization. There's, I'm sure, great wealth of information. You guys have website, Facebook pages and stuff like that.
Yep.
Where do we start?
So epiny.org is our website. You can go on there and get information. You can get contact to our epilepsy services. We actually provide quite a wide array of services for people with developmental disabilities, brain injuries, as well as epilepsy. You can get information on that. Our camp would not be put on if we wasn't for the funds that we were able to raise. And so our chocolate ball, Scott, which you've been to, is our biggest fundraiser for epilepsy services. But we do have separate camp appeals and newsletters. And if people are interested, they can get on our website, they can call us, and we can connect them to get some information and to get involved.
Take some money and throw it at them right now. You know, it really is. It's really so great, important to help our fellow people in the community. And this is another great effort. And you guys are really doing a fantastic job. And congratulations on 20 plus years, 25 plus years.
28.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and, that's just for the camp. You know, our agency's been around a little longer than that, of course. But we serve a lot of individuals. We support a lot of individuals who have developmental disabilities, epilepsy, traumatic brain injury. And there's that support that's an ongoing thing. I mean, yes, the camp is a one-week-long program in the summer, but we have networking groups, not only here in Rochester, Syracuse, Binghamton, and also Utica, that they can come, family members, individuals who have epilepsy can come and receive that support all year long.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Out of time. Once again, the website is?
EPINY.org.
Thank you so much all for right. coming in and then speaking with us. We'd love to be neighbors in need.
Hello. Right, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.